Starting or carrying on with our series on the parables of Jesus. And a parable is just a simple story or an illustration that Jesus told, and he used them to get across a moral or a spiritual lesson. And some of them are easier to understand, some are more difficult, some are subject to the Holy Spirit making clear to us, some of them Jesus spoke to and explained very clearly. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, that's where I'm going to be, verse 26 to 29, talking about the parable of the seed. And it's quite short, but it's got a lot involved in it, and could cover a lot of areas. But I wanted to just read one scripture in Amos, if you want to put it up there. And I called it, we have a problem, because Amos, way back before the coming of the Lord, he said this: "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." So there's this famine, and when I read that verse in connection with the seed and in connection with the harvest we've been talking about and God working in the land that we live in, I had this sense of, we're kind of living in the times of Amos. This was hundreds of years before Christ, and Israel was in a desperate place, and God sent this famine. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't by accident. There was this famine in the land for the word, for hearing the word, for understanding it and all that goes with it, if we take time in that verse, but it's not my text. And then about 400 years later, Jesus shows up and he starts preaching and he starts teaching, and he brings this amazing parable in Mark chapter 4 that we're going to read this morning. And I believe it relates to that. We live in a time when we're in trouble. There is a famine in the land of hearing the word of the Lord. And the answer to a famine is prayer, yes. But the answer is to get busy sowing the seed, to get busy doing something about it. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, but I'll repeat it because it was so amazing. When's a good time to plant a tree? 30 years ago or today? Amen. When's a good time to sow seed? When's a good time to help in a famine? Is now. Is to do something today. To get involved today. So when Jesus comes along, he starts telling them this parable. And it's a very short one. And he says in Mark 4 verse 26, he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So in that small parable, if you go back in Mark chapter 4, the whole chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's taking them aside. You can go back and read it. And he's explaining and preaching, and there he's talked about the seed, the sower of the seed, and the four soils. And then he explains that parable very nicely to them, because they ask him, what does it mean? He said, "Well, now you're speaking plainly, we can get it." But Mark says that he preached to the people in parables, and some of them he explained to his disciples. But this parable, this short little parable, Jesus doesn't explain. He leaves it for us to understand. And so in this parable, just quickly, there's about four things that come to light. One is the kingdom. And I've shared about what the kingdom of God is in the past. The kingdom of God does not refer to heaven or the church or the heart of, or to moral reform or to the future realm. Rather, it refers to the active, dynamic exercise of God's rule, authority, dominion, and power in the world. It means what God is busy doing in the world. If R.T. was here, he would say it is the free reign of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. The allowing of God to have dominion. And not only allowing, but it's his dominion in the world. He's in charge. So he says the kingdom of God. So this authority, this active, dynamic working of God in the world today, and it includes the church, and it includes heaven, and it includes everything. It's God's domain. It's as if This is where the parables start. He says it's as if one sows seeds on the ground. You know, I've heard tons of sermons on Mark 4 about the good soils and the four types of soils. And I even heard people preach it, and I probably preached it myself, that a farmer doesn't just go waste his seed, just throw it on the thistles and the rocks and walk around on the pavement out of that same chapter. But in this verse, this parable, he says that it's as if a man just takes his seed and flings it, throws it on the ground, and then he sleeps, and he gets up, and he sleeps, and he gets up, and this seed takes root because the earth, the dirt that it falls into, has what it needs, and it sprouts, and it produces a leaf, and then it produces a kernel, and then it produces like a harvest. And there's so many things I could say about it, but it's like, in one sense, I take comfort in it, that it's not our job to grow things. I've usually killed a lot of plants trying to help them. Carrie has given me, for years, Carrie and Sue have given me tomato plants. And he babies them and he incubates them and he brings them and then he gives them to me and I kill them. But not all of them, thankfully. We've actually had tomatoes every year. But that thing of how does that dirt and seed and produce? We don't know. That's the bottom line out of this parable, is that we don't know. It's a mystery. The seed falls on the ground, it sprouts, it produces a crop. The Bible talks about, if I can just put this in here for free, there's lots of images of what the Word of God is, and I don't want to preach on them, but the Bible is like a double-edged sword. It's like fire, it's like a hammer, it's a lamp, it's like food, it's like a mirror. All of these relate to the Word of God, but today it is a seed. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29 is the parable of the seed. The main point of this parable, talking in general terms about the kingdom of God, is the seed and what it is and what it's not. So I want to say to you this morning, taking the seed to be the Word of God, staying in Mark chapter 4, you don't have to be a theologian to just follow through. He's talking about the Word of God. Jesus has just explained that, being sown. We can interpret the growth of the plants as the working of God's Word in the hearts of individuals and nations, in the hearts of people. Are we in agreement with that? It's the working of the Word of God. First of all, the seed is the Word of God. It's more than that. It's the gospel. I've already put it up there. It's Christ Himself. It's what we share and preach and teach about it. But it's the Word of God being cast out, being spread around, and then it bears fruit in people's lives. The fact that the crop grows without the farmer's intervention means that God can accomplish His purposes even when we are absent or unaware of what He's doing. It's a mystery. And the goal in all of this is to have this amazing harvest, to have an amazing harvest that the Lord of the harvest gets glory for. So that's the simple message. Then Peter, if you want to put up Peter's text, Peter, if he was here preaching, this is what he says. He says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." So if you just take that preach of Peter's, he's explaining the seed. The seed is the Word of God that's being preached. So I can take comfort this morning that in what I'm doing, preaching the Bible, preaching the words of Jesus, preaching the gospel, that I'm actually preaching and sowing a good seed. This seed is imperishable. This seed, the gospel, Christ, salvation, it's all included when we talk about the seed, is a good seed that will bear eternal fruit in people's lives. Amen? We can agree on that. It's a mystery how it works, how that seed takes root in our lives, in the lives of our children, in the lives of a church, in the lives of people. It's a mystery, but God is working to produce a harvest through His Word into our lives. So just a couple of practical things and then I'll get to the really good stuff. Seeds grow when they find soil. It's what they do. The Word of God, the seed, the gospel, when it finds soil, will produce. It's what it does. It has a small beginning. When you talk about seeds, it's a small beginning. It bears much fruit. It's not how many seeds in the apple, rather how many apples in the seed. You've heard that. Never underestimate the power of sowing good seed, even though it seems so humble. Be careful what seeds you're sowing comes out of this. You know, you've heard the old evangelist story. You know, you're sowing your wild oats, and then you're praying for a crop failure. Hallelujah. What seeds are you sowing? Because the seeds you sow will bear fruit. And it's important to have good seed. It's important to have quality seed, imperishable seed, God's seed, His Word. The Word of God is the seed. It bears fruit and produces a harvest. Faith is produced by hearing the Word. A holy life is produced, righteous life. The Word is for correction, instruction, rebuke. But it's a mystery. It's spiritual, how it works. Brian said it last week. We must know the Word of God if we're going to obey it. And we must value the Word of God. It must be precious to us. We can take this Word so much for granted if we're not careful. Just think of the miracle of how this Word got to us. How precious this Word is. Don't neglect it. This is the seed. This is the basis of our harvest. Whether it's our own life, whether it's in the lives of people, whether it's in the nation of Canada. This Word of God, which there seems to be a famine in the land right now. But we will not be part of that. We as a church, if we do not believe the Word of God, if we do not preach the Word of God, if we do not understand it, obey it, who will? We must be the people of the Word. We must be people who are known to be Bible people. Everywhere we go, how we live our lives, how we speak, how we live this out reflects on the Word of God. And it's the basis for everything. It's the compass for our life. It's the seed that's going to bear this amazing fruit and produce in our life. Amen? So I could talk to you long about the Bible, long about the gospel, long about us sharing that to a world that's hungry for it. You know, you've heard the old evangelist saying, sorry for the old evangelist sayings, but the guy goes to India, the shoemaker, and he comes back and says, there's no business there because nobody's wearing shoes. And the other guy goes and says, no, there's nobody has shoes. Let's make 10 billion of them. In a time when the Word of God seems scarce, in a times when people have cast off restraint, you know, when revelation isn't everywhere, the Bible says people cast off restraint. When there seems to be a famine for the Word of God, you can look at it two ways. You say, well, nobody cares about the Word. Or you can say, no, but they just don't know it. If they would just see the bread of life, the harvest, the seed, the fruit that's coming, if they could just smell and taste and see how good God is, how good His Word is, how powerful this Word is, how this Word keeps us, how this Word sustains us in our life through the generations. And I tell you, it's not just for old people, it's for young people, it's for all of us. The Word of God is just like this amazing sustaining force, food, spiritual life for all of us. That's why it's important that we carry this seed with us, that we are prepared to sow it, to spread it. And I want to end up, but maybe I'll do it right now. Who cares where I end up? You don't know where I'm going to end up. But just think of this farmer sowing seed. You know, there are times when you put a seed in the ground, and I'm not one of those farmers, but it's like he's sowing seed. He's walking, you know, I love these big new machines they have these days that just air pressure, put a seed this far in the ground or this far, they can set it. And they just cover acres and acres. This harvest going on, this sowing of grain, this sowing. That's what I would love to see our church do more and more. I would like to be part of that. I would like to be part of one who takes the Word of God with me more and more and more and more. Take Christ with me. Take the gospel with me everywhere I go. So to do that, we have to have the Word. We must know the Word. We must share the Word. We must be free with the Word. So let's just look at a couple of things. First of all, the seed is powerful to produce. You went ahead of me. Life is in the seed. That's the amazing thing about the seed. Let me just stick to this. The truth of the parable is well illustrated in the growth of the early church. I planted, but others sowed, others watered, but God brings the increase. I said it earlier, but it keeps me free. I cannot be responsible for even a church like us for what you do with the Word of God. I have to be faithful to it. I have to study it. I have to pray, God, help me. Holy Spirit, come and anoint. It's like singers. When they sing, they want the anointing. They want the presence of God. I've often been envious of good singers, of Herman and Doug and Nicole and Robin. There's just something anointed about just being able to, just singing and being free. You should have seen us at the karaoke night. I was so free. I see that train a-coming. It's coming round the bend. I was standing here this morning. If I can sing loud about Johnny Cash's song, I can sing for Jesus this morning. But there's just something freeing about that anointing, about singing and the gifting that's on it when people do it with anointing. And I've often been envious of that, because when you preach, you just want to preach the wonderful joy of Jesus. You just want people to get it, that there's just this amazing, bountiful life. If you would just get this Word into your heart, if you just take whatever it is that's being preached, whatever it is that's being sung, and you would take it into your life, whether it's holiness, whether it's marriage, whether it's giving, whether it's whatever area of Christian life that you're preaching about, I wish I could just sing about it. And you would be like, oh, I want to buy that CD and give me money and go around the world because you're so excited about the Word of God. But it's the truth. The Word of God, we have this amazing Word that we can take, and it's powerful. And what I started out by trying to say is, it's not up to me how you receive it. I just got to spread it. And we're not stupid, and we're not going to just waste our best seed on all unprepared soil, and there's a whole other message in that. But it's as if a man just scatters seed. Take the gospel with you. Take Jesus with you. You'll be amazed at the people who will listen to you, who are desperate for the message that you have, when it's lived out, when it's real in your own heart and in your own life. And even if you can't sing, you can preach. And if you can't preach it, you can share the Scriptures. And if you can't share the Scriptures, you can talk about Jesus. You can pray for people. I heard testimony this morning on thankfulness for people praying for one another. I don't see Maya and Brian here today. You know, Maya's father passed away this week in the funeral. The viewing is tonight in Leduc, and tomorrow is the funeral. But there's people who carry burdens among us. There's people who are rejoicing. And the Word of God, we can carry with us all the time. We can be a blessing. We can encourage one another with the Word of God. It'll cover us and carry us through all the circumstances of life, no matter where you're at in your life. And I just want to, if you forget everything else I've said this morning, the kingdom of God is as if a man just scatters seed, and he sleeps and he gets up. We don't have to stress so much. Am I getting this right? Are the people hearing it? What about the fruit? I've shared my weaknesses as a leader, so you know me. I see the people who aren't here. I hear the people who don't like me more than the people that like me. You know, we're all the same. It's like 700 people can say, oh, you're amazing. One guy says, oh, that was sick. You're like, oh, I'm sick. You know, it's like, no. You sow the Word of God. You just be faithful to carry this precious seed with you and spread it everywhere you go. And believe God for a harvest. Believe God to bring the increase. Faithfulness, keep sowing. That's up there. I've already said it, but I'm an impatient gardener. I want to see production in our children, in a lifetime of scattering seed. Just think how long it's taken for you. I remember Nick, and I've shared this before, but he asked, you know, sitting in the, Leonard, how long does it take before your children say thank you? I don't know, 20 some years? And that's usually because they've moved out. Otherwise, it's just, it's dangerous to preach when you have your own children on the front rows. Think how long it took you to get this thing. You know, we can be so hard on people when it comes to the gospel, and it comes, oh, I've been sharing, I've been talking. How long it took you to understand what it meant, the Word of God, what it meant to follow through on that, what it meant to obey God's Word, what it meant for the Holy Spirit to come and quicken that Word, to create faith in you, to grow in the Lord, to start to produce some fruit in your life, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of God's Word, to grow up in maturity. And how long did it take us? And how many times do we fail? And then how come we're so hard on the next guy? Like, I'm one of those guys that just takes that radish. Grow, you little rascal. My wife's always telling me, get out of the garden. I'm always eating them when they're that big. But it's like, yeah, it's a radish. Yeah. It's like, so I do that with people. Yeah, he's a radish. There's not much there. It takes a lifetime. And we must be faithful. Just be faithful to sow the Word of God. I don't want to preach Brian's message from last week, but Daniel was faithful for a lifetime. Circumstances change. Lives change. Could I encourage you, if you're not old, you're going to get old. That's profound, eh? I just made that up right now. You're going to need the faithfulness of God's Word more as you get older. Getting old is not for sissies. And I'm not that old. I just look old. I got an old man's head. That was a friend of mine's comment. He said that. As you grow, you need that faithful Word of God. There's times when the darkness comes, when the clouds come, when the storms come, when sickness comes, when issues come. With you, many of you know what I'm talking about. Stuff in life, family, health, marriage, and you just need that solid, solid, faithful Word of God. And there's many times you think, Lord, don't you think this would be a good time for a harvest? Don't you think this would be a good time to just show up a little bit? And He just says, keep sowing, keep faithfulness, keep serving, keep loving. And you'll see it in your children. We have a lot of young families in this church, and I can't say it enough. There's stuff I want to say, but I'm waiting for just a little longer for some things, and then I'll preach it. But it's just the faithfulness of God in our lives, in His faithfulness of His Word. You can trust it. Don't doubt it. Just preach it, live it, share it, scatter it, spread the Word of God. The world needs the Word of God. And to do that and to have confidence in it, you must believe it yourself. You must have it in your life. You must be obeying it to some extent. You must have your seed bag full so that you can scatter the seed. And the last part is you reap. Produces a lifetime of harvest. There's a reaping time coming. What I love about God's Word is that we get to enjoy it now and we get to enjoy it into eternity. There's verses like, train up a child when they're young, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. The Muslims and the Catholics have got this figured out. Get children. Sometimes I think we should do it like a field trip or something. We should all stand up, and we should start on this side, and we should walk through all the kids' classes. You know, I know it would just cause complete chaos in there. But I just wish for a second these walls would just fall down and you could see people who care about our kids and about our grandkids sitting in these rooms, some of them packed into some of these rooms. And I wish we could just see what God is doing through those people into kids' lives, how important that is. And those of you who are here and teaching and helping in that, I just want to encourage you, don't quit. I was a famous Sunday school teacher when I was 18. The teachers, the supervisors used to have to get after us a lot. I was 18. It's enough said. But it produces a lifetime for those who are faithful. The negative side of it is this, and maybe I'll end with some of this. You can't expect a harvest if you never sow. I said it a little bit 2 weeks ago about the words of Jesus. He said, don't say 4 months. You have this saying, 4 months. Quit saying that. Look at the field. It's white. Look, right now, the harvest is here. Same with sowing. So I said, a good time to sow is now. But if you're not sowing, if you're not taking that seed personally, first of all, in your own life, just let's make it personal. If I am not investing in the Word of God, if I am not investing in the gospel, if I'm not living in something of the reality of God and Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit in my life, all of that is the kingdom of God, as I started out saying. If I have none of that in my personal life, then I can't expect the harvest of the faithful. I can't expect the harvest of righteousness, of holy life, of the fruits. We can't. So what is it God's putting His finger on when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to that seed personally in your own life? Invest in it. Some of you are in the reading plan. Some of us doing better, poorer. There's seasons when I'm amazing at it, and there's seasons I just keep quiet. I'll preach about that another time. The Word of God is so precious. And then what about taking it to our kids and into our families and into our Sunday school? We want our kids to hear the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to understand the Word of God. It's the only seed that's imperishable. It's the only seed that's going to bear this eternal reward, this eternal harvest, is His Word. Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you encouraging your children in the Word of God? Do you personally know the Word of God? There's a harvest for this life and for the next with the Word of God. And Peter, he said it already, and I've read his preach. But if he was here preaching, he said that word, that imperishable seed, that salvation is what he's talking about. That life of Christ coming into you came through the preaching of the Word. The eternal Word of God. The Word of Christ, which the Holy Spirit comes and anoints and blesses that Word. So however you preach it, however, you know, most of you probably will never stand in a pulpit and preach. And I will never stand in your office or in your factory or in your business or in your school and preach to the people you speak to. But all of us have a calling on our life to spread the Word of God.